Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing, and Infinite Love. And today I happily welcome Glynda Lee Hoffman, author of The Genesis Code, Your Key to Unlocking Hidden Genius. In this very unusual look into the primary story of Genesis, or creation, Hoffman states that the story is really a coded key to the workings of the human brain, and by deciphering the hidden interpretation of the Hebrew letters as expressed in the Kabbalah, we may discover the attributes of the Hebrew letters, not so much as linguistic components, but as patterns of energy. Hello, Glynda Lee.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, it's my great pleasure to have you here. As an energy Reiki master teacher and medium, I share in my new book, The Living Spirit, stories which prove that when the mind and heart are open to the wisdom and codes of eternal life, a higher consciousness is attainable, allowing for perceptions and the limitations of previous life patterns or beliefs to be discarded and replaced with infinite possibilities for living, loving life, and manifesting miracles. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will see that when you read Genesis, seeing it as a code, not merely a story of creation, then every word is a revelation conveying hidden power in the universe and in ourselves. If you think the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden is about sex and a fall from grace, then Glynda Lee Hoffman's new book will open up a new way to revisit a very ancient story of Genesis. Hoffman says this knowledge was understood by Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, and others, and it is why they live transcendent lives, looking for that unique place where mind power and neuroplasticity meet cosmic consciousness, which is a methodology for our own path to transcendence. You begin in your book to describe your early days when a voice and mystery began to call to you. Can you share something of those times and discoveries with us?
Sure. I was 5 years old, playing in the house, and I heard a voice say, "Things are not what they appear to be." And the voice also had a presence, so it wasn't just a voice in my head. And
did you actually see something?
Yeah, I definitely felt the energy. It was very powerful. It was very present, and it was timeless. And I didn't realize until after I learned the Kabbalah that that voice was the beginning of my path, because my entire journey has been a journey of expanding perception and learning to understand the power of perception. So to begin it with a voice that says things are not what they appear to be is the perfect message to move me on to the next message, which was when I was 11, I had this encounter with Jesus. It just happened while I was walking home from church. All of a sudden, I met Jesus on the road. And people would say it was a very detailed experience. People would describe it as a mystical experience or like a near-death experience. I had a very involved encounter with Jesus where he showed me how my body came to be through DNA and inherited from all my ancestors and all the ancestors on Earth back to our atoms originating from the stars and the galaxies and in the cosmos. And he also taught me about the lessons we learn in culture, which is what I had been searching for. I was very confused by culture. I couldn't have said that in those words then, but I was very confused by messages like, it's not who wins or loses, it's how you play the game. But I never met anybody who actually followed that
You mean you would have hoped, as a child, a loving child, that they played the game with cooperation rather than so
Right.
much competition and it confused you. But I want to say something. In the book, you described that when you saw Jesus, you actually arrived at a place, you went into the woods, and you saw people dressed in old-fashioned clothing, like a biblical scene. And then there were these very perfectly round rocks, and at the top sat the man, Jesus, and when he touched your hand and held it in his grasp, you felt a bolt of hot energy shoot through your fingers and spread through your energy body or your entire body. And when you looked into his eyes, you experienced that moment of longed for, these are your words, and they're quite beautiful, recognition. Now, in my book, The Living Spirit Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, I'm at a meditation group that I'm leading with several of my Reiki students. And by the way, the energy that you felt, I feel all the time when I work with this higher energy as a Reiki practitioner. So, you know, Reiki, as many know, is a form of channeling higher energy. And during the meditation that evening, I actually felt Jesus by my side, and he was crying. And he said to us, "I cried for the many ills done by unknowing souls, just as you and your group cry for the injustice and insensitivity of many." And it's like when we were children, we hoped to see fairness. We hoped to see courage and love. And instead, we were given so many rules and regulations that didn't make sense to us, because as souls we're contained by this physical body, but our spirit and essence is indomitable, and it wishes to grow and go and discover and be fearless. And
Yeah.
if we allow children to let this force of life find its own way, just like water flows, we would have much healthier human beings, children and
Yeah.
grown-ups.
Exactly what you're explaining. You're doing such a wonderful job. The way I learned to define it is that we're really our beings, our soul, the energy that you speak of. The word I use is angelic. In our home, in our heart, we feel angelic when we get rid of all of our fear and when we're in the present moment, our angelic nature is what emerges because that's the nature of the frontal lobe, which is the only unique part of our body and our brain. Many scientists have this confused because they think that being human, the unique part of being human was evolved during bipedalism when we stood up on 2 feet. But they're wrong about that, and I learned that in Genesis. The unique part of us is this frontal lobe that sits right behind the forehead. And of course, in the ancient days, people drew an eye on the forehead, and they called it the third eye because one of the most important tasks of the frontal lobe is to look inward. That's where we learn all of our, what you term higher level thinking and higher level awareness, which I term angelic awareness, because if we don't look inward to the brain and observe how the brain actually processes all the information that comes into our awareness, if we don't understand that, then the brain lies to us because our brain, unbeknownst to most of us, has been conditioned by the culture we grew up in. And our culture is what rips away our true angelic nature and substitutes for it a cultural identity that is untrue and false.
Yeah, you wrote it this way, and I quote, My ultimate discovery is that at our essence, we are angelic creatures attempting to heroically develop those superior qualities, struggling to free ourselves from conditioned thinking which traps us in bondage to rigid and limited concepts of ourselves. We may reconnect with that infinite, unknown, eternal life that pulsates at the center of the cosmos by recognizing it exists within us, learning to express its expansive and creative qualities through awareness, words, and deeds to benefit us personally and collectively. So we are in this sphere of downloading divine energy, and we are supported by those souls in spirit, the angels, angelic beings, loved ones.
Exactly.
But now, yeah, I want to go on to something because I'd love to hear your explanation of it. I know it to be true, but I want to hear how you describe the original story of Adam and Eve and how the interpretation of that event has painted a picture of women and their relationship to man and how it has influenced all religious doctrines.
Well, first of all, all of these traditional interpretations of Genesis are not based on the actual text. They're based on the patriarchal cultural mindset that has always viewed women as second-class citizens. Because when you go back and actually read the text and understand the clues in the text, the real story, which paints Eve as the hero in the garden, is still there, because this traditional interpretation that's been passed down for 2,500 years has a grip on our psyche. And we believe what these other people are saying without actually investigating for ourselves. And I was forced to do that through the Kabbalah, because that's what the Kabbalah demanded. As I was learning the Kabbalah, it just turned my mind inside out, completely ripped out all the conditioning, and then introduced these cosmic patterns of life through the letters of the Kabbalah and gave me completely new eyes through which to perceive everything, including this story. And so what I saw is that the woman was created to help the man eat the fruit without dying, which was his warning in the beginning. If you eat this fruit, you will surely die. But then later in the story, she eats the fruit first, gives it to him. Neither of them dies. Their eyes are open.
Right.
And this idea that their eyes are open, the rest of the verse is, and they knew they were naked. And of course, then patriarchy overlays that with ashamed. But that is not what the verse says. It doesn't say anything about shame. There's no term in the story about original sin. So that was made up. The shame was made up.
Absolutely.
The punishment was made up.
So there is no shame. And all the religions that put the blame on poor Eve for doing what she was destined and born to do is really so unrealistic.
Unfortunately, there are millions and millions and millions of people who believe that false story.
I do know that, because when I talk this way to some people, they are very offended. Especially people in traditional Christianity, they see her as the sin, and, you know, there are male priests,
yeah,
and we cannot seem to get them past this story.
And what the Kabbalah taught me is that the story of the garden is not historical. The basic pattern in the Kabbalah is the pattern of wholeness, and it defines wholeness like a seed. There's an inner dimension and an outer dimension. And this is true of all whole systems, and they all basically self-organize in the same way. So that the inner dimension, which is like a germ, is the part that grows and expands. And the outer dimension is like a husk, and it's the part that is static but protective. And so in Genesis, you have the 6 days of creation, which is the story of our outer evolution, which is static in the sense that it's all in the past and can't be changed. And then we have the story of the Garden of Eden, which is the inner story, which is actually the story of our own awareness and takes place in our own brain. And interestingly, neuroscientists refer to the brain as a neural jungle. in the Garden of Eden, it's referred to as a garden. But the metaphors, garden and jungle, are very similar, and they point to the immense fertility that is available in the human brain for overcoming our conditioning, our cultural conditioning, and claiming our heritage as angelic cosmic beings. And the interesting thing is that we've been conditioned to think of ourselves as a body, as matter, but we now know for certain through science that more of us is energy than is matter.
Everything is energy, actually.
Everything is energy, and yet we don't identify with energy.
Yes.
Which is one of the reasons why I introduced my I Am Pure Energy meditation, because it was given to me as a shortcut to helping the brain get that message that we are primarily energy, and that it's within that energy field that all of our hidden potential can be located and targeted to help us grow and change and move beyond all those old limitations and into our divine angelic nature.
Absolutely. And now let's get back to that vision you had of Jesus. Can you tell us what was understood as a result of that vision later on in life? Actually, I have a quote here. Let me just read this. I instantly understood that Jesus could see opportunity in every crisis, redemption in every disaster. He could see the true depths of human longing, the breathtaking potential hidden in the human brain, and the power of love hidden in the human heart. Jesus loved me unconditionally. He was free of doubt, self-assured in understanding our inherent powers of possibility and intention. I realized to see through eyes such as those that Jesus had developed, the ability to see the full spectrum of possibilities in human consciousness, was the most precious gift imaginable. It meant freedom from all the mixed up institutional ideas, beliefs, and assumptions I'd previously been trapped in, that limits human vision, diminishes our capacity to love, and destroys hope. Very beautifully said.
I said that.
You wrote that. And it's just everything we're talking about here.
It is.
All
it's
the possibilities
beautiful.
That are not, they're not only possibilities. They are our birthright and our
they
reality
are.
As spiritual beings. Now, you go on to, also in your childhood, you mentioned something I'm very interested. Many of my shows discuss issues relating to parenting and the children today who will be the leaders of our future. And you describe how the absence of your parents as they pursued their own studies and work factors, and most of the children today are being raised today because with technology, people are so tuned in to so many personal interests that it's hard to focus on other human beings. They're so plugged into their resources. So the kids are simply cast adrift to make their own way, even more so now than in the past. So many responsibilities on everyone. So we've lost the ability to remember some of these divine connections. Can you tell us something about the degree of emotional and psychological trauma that you felt as a child and that the children of today are feeling, and the invisible scars that are being imprinted on their inner being as a result of poor
sure.
connections?
One of the ways that I describe it now that I understood then but could not have verbalized was that I could very clearly see that adults were in charge. But I could also very clearly see that they didn't have a clue what they were doing because they were making a mess of everything. We see that in all the wars and in all the environmental degradation that goes on and in the population, overpopulation situations. And that still is present today, and children are still experiencing that same thing. And just like with me, some place inside of them, they also know that because they have a frontal lobe, and the frontal lobe is the part of us that is aware of all this. And so they, just like with me and just like with you, they are also looking for someone who's clear that can give them an unbiased message of what life really holds for us.
Absolutely. Now, Glenda, you go on, Glenda Lee, you go on to tell us how you came to read The Cipher of Genesis, written in 1967 by French author Carlos Suarez, and how it helped you to move forward. Can you tell us something about that book?
Well, yes.
And how it helped you?
It was, to me, as I look back on the experience, what happened with the end of my Jesus experience was that I realized his clarity was what allowed him to be the angelic person he was. And I also realized that I wanted that same clarity for myself. I didn't want to worship him. I wanted him to teach me to see as he did so that I could attain the same kind of wisdom and transcendence he had attained. So I asked him in my encounter to teach me to see that way. And then when I moved to the Christ Circle as an adult, which I was led there, obviously, I certainly wasn't looking for it, another person there gave me that book. And in learning the Kabbalah, which was a very intense four-year process and then has been a continuing process for the rest of my life, I, at one point after the 4 years, I suddenly realized that by looking through the eyes of the teaching of the Kabbalah, I was attaining what I had originally seen with Jesus, that my mind was becoming like his. It was enlarging and expanding to the point where I could see the same possibilities in myself and in others, and I could see life as everlasting, and that I was not trapped in a physical body, that I had access to a field of energy that's infinite. And that knowledge and that realization has stayed with me since then, and I'm pretty sure that anybody who experiences that, whether it's through a near-death experience or through mediumship like with you or mm-hmm. the Reiki teaching, anytime you access that kind of limitless energy and it really touches you to your core, you can't forget that. It's not possible to forget it. It touches us in a way that awakens us.
Not only can you not forget it, you can't deny it when people, maybe 80% of the population, even though they say they have religious affiliations, do not understand energy and who they are as spiritual and physical beings, and they're frightened by some of the things that we're discussing here, which when you really grasp, which is really the Christ consciousness, which is really what in my new book I am trying to share also as you are trying to share. I share these ideas by mystics and religious leaders, or they were seen as religious leaders, but I see them more as spiritualists and people who wanted to know themselves in depth as spiritual beings, and who in defining wholeness or enlightenment showed us the way to discover our spiritual gifts through the truth of our expansive nature as the universal representatives of a unified life force that resonates in the DNA of each of us, regardless of what our religious affiliation, race, or gender is. And to know, as Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within us. We are the universe, and the universe is us. And as we create and generate thoughts and actions to bring opposing forces, the physical and inner life are opposing forces, we bring them together. We break down the illusion of our patterns, ego, fears, imposed belief systems, and enter the realm of possibilities, miracles, pure light, love, and creation.
And yeah, exactly.
And that's what this show is about. That's what your book is about. That's what my book is about. That's what this show is about. We honor visionaries and seekers who share ideas about who we are, where we came from, and how we may transcend and transform any limiting thought, lifestyle, to become the reality of our highest goals and aspirations, and the only way this can be done is through self-investigation, our inner life, and self-mastery of our emotions. Whether positive or negative, we need to understand them and continue to learn and grow. And you say in the Kabbalah version of Genesis, there is no sin, no punishment, and no devaluing of feminine energy. We started the show about this, and can you say something about this now?
Oh, yes. In fact, when the Garden of Eden is perceived as the inner workings of the brain, Adam and Eve work together to make perception whole, and it's because Adam has called her the mother of all living, because not because she's the mother of all living organisms or all living people, but because she's the mother of all living awareness, and he is the neocortex, which creates thought and puts thought into action. And so we need these two opposites to work together. Awareness needs a body to work through, which is the part that Adam controls. And yet if he's not connected to the infinite awareness that's available through the frontal lobe, which is Eve, then what we end up with is the incomplete cultures that we are conditioned by now. And what I learned in my own journey, and what I'm sure you've learned in your journey, and anybody who does this inner journey, is we go through certain experiences that reveal to us our previous limitations, our fears, our denials, and we get the chance to look at them again and perceive them in a new light, so that they become loosened from our emotional attachment, and we are free to simply let them go. All of us go through these kinds of experiences, because growing up in a culture that is predatory, the way our culture is, and glamorizes pain and suffering, most of us have learned to shut those parts of ourselves down. And as we go through our journey of enlarging our awareness, we learn that those vulnerabilities are really strengths within us, if we learn how to use them and accept them and bring them back into our awareness so that we can be whole. So all of our journeys are the same. The journey of self-discovery is learning to accept all the parts of ourself and learning how to put those pieces back together into a whole being, so that we can be fully present in every moment in a loving, non-threatening, accepting capacity.
Absolutely. I want to thank you, Glenda Lee Hoffman, author of The Genesis Code, for an honest, intelligent look at how difficulties in your own life path led you to incredulous openings of your heart and mind to explore the voice of creation in studying the Hebrew words of Kabbalah. For more information on this subject and to purchase the book, go to thegenesiscode.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have observed once again how our uniqueness and asking questions regarding history, religion, science, neuroplasticity, of studies of the mind, body, and soul lead us ever forward to discover the mysteries within our being and how the entire universe is indeed within each of us. As Glenda Lee writes, the more I studied Kabbalah and the brain, the more I realized that our intention to grow and expand awareness is a secret source of power within us that taps into life's generative impulse. Intention is our hidden gestational potential to become more authentically human. We must tap into a power that is truly immeasurable, and more importantly, alive. In the living spirit, I, as does Glenda Lee, address the idea that the living energy force, whose divine spark resides in the heart of each of us, is limitless, eternal, and a soul connection to Source. Since the beginning, the infinite love of the one source of life is there when we think we are alone or yearn for something missing or something we can't truly describe yet. In each of us is the hope that we may follow these intuitive sparks of courage that will change our ordinary patterns of behavior and bring us closer to understanding the mysteries of our limitless potential to create wonderful lives. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear authors in the field of metaphysics, science, spirituality, medicine, quantum physics, and education seek answers to unlock our divine human potential using energy as the key. Also go to webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you very much for listening.